John chapter number 7. We're going to get to it, but I just want to put the seed in your head. Never man spake like this man. That's not what Christ said about himself. That's what his critics said about him. Think about that for a moment. John chapter number 7 and verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. God, thank you that any that come to you thirsty walk away satisfied. God, you have enough for all. God, I'm thankful for that. God, thank you for the truths, as we read yesterday. And God, thank you for your authority. It was mentioned multiple times in that passage in Mark. With authority you spake. God, no one ever spoke like you spoke. Lord, I pray that we get a hold of that tonight. That there's no one like you. Lord, we want to worship you. We want to honor you. We want to glorify you. We want to exalt your name, not just in this building, but in our daily life. Lord, I pray you'd help us with that. Lord, bless this time as we just go verse by verse through what you said and what you did. Again, we want to bring recognition to who you are. We love you and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Never man spake like this man, it'll be said. As we bring to light here, it is the final day of the Feast of Tabernacles, the final feast of the Jewish calendar. And the last day, the Lord uses that opportunity and says, I've got something to say. He stands up and maybe similar to a setting like this, and I'd ask that you not do that in the midst of the service, but Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." You know, there's... go to Deuteronomy chapter number 29. Deuteronomy 29, the Bible's going to warn us that there are some things that we ought to thirst for, and then there's some things we ought not to. We have a natural tendency to thirst for things. Say, what does that mean, thirst? I mean, certainly water and the physical wanting of a drink. Maybe you're sitting here tonight thinking, yeah, I would like a drink. I'm hot. It's warm. I just sang a lot or whatever it is. I don't know. And that longing, can you imagine it spiritually? That desiring, my soul thirsts for something. Psalm 42 tells us about as the heart panteth after the water brook, so my soul panteth after thee. Hey, is there a heart's desire to come to the Lord? Is there a longing in you to get closer to the Lord? In Deuteronomy chapter 29, starting in verse 16, For ye know how we have dwelt in the land of Egypt, and how we came through the nations which ye passed by, and ye have seen their abominations and their idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them, lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord to go and serve the gods of these nations. Lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. Hey, he's warning. He said, hey, be careful. You walked by some things. You saw some things in Egypt. And he says, I hope you don't desire that. Hey, every day we're in the world. Every day we're walking through the world. We're walking by even the best that this world has to offer. I hope your soul doesn't long for those things. I hope your soul isn't thirsty for those things. In verse 19, and to come to pass when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of my heart to add drunkenness to thirst. Hey, if there's something you should stay away from, it's alcohol. If the Lord gave you victory over alcohol in here tonight, raise your hand. Ms. Baird, what would you tell? This isn't in my message, and it just, but there's a movement of, even within Christianity, hey, it's all right. What would you warn a young person that's thinking about it? Yeah. I've spoken to people that sit in this church house, that say, there's pictures of me at parties and get-togethers that if it wasn't for that picture, I wouldn't have known I was there. Just forgot, didn't even know. Like, was so... Anybody else? Someone else get victory over alcohol? Somebody else? Ms. Hannah, what would you say? You'll regret it. Don't take the first sip. You can't. Hey, if I could encourage you, heed these warnings. Don't allow your thirst to be that. The Bible says the Lord will not spare him, but the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in the book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. Hey, don't go searching after gods. There's one Lord and one God. That is our longing. That is what we ought to come to. So when we go back to John chapter number 7 and verse 37, he says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And make sure you're thirsting for the right things. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse 4. And they all drank the same spiritual drink, and they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Hey, you want to drink something? You're thirsty? Do you know innately our soul longs for something? And you may spend a lifetime looking for it, but until you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll never be satisfied. He is the only one that can satisfy your soul. So when he says, hey, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Verse 38 of John chapter 7, verse 38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Hey, when you're saved, the Holy Spirit indwells you. We know that. John chapter 14, verse 17 says this, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him not, but ye know him, he says, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Aren't you glad you have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God? Hey, if I want to get a hold of God, I don't have to go anywhere but right here. God dwells inside of me. Man, that's a mystery in itself. But let us remember, the work of the Holy Spirit starts on the inside and works its way out. Oftentimes, we'll try in reverse. And I understand the attempts and I understand that, but can I tell you the best thing that you can work on is your heart with the Lord, your mind with God. Well, I just want to look like everybody. I understand maybe a desire to acclimate to your surroundings. I get that. I understand. But more important than the outward appearance is the inward appearance. Because God looks past all that. He looks at your heart first. That's what he's looking for. Too often we seek maybe a religious experience that starts on the outside. Hey, why don't we let the Lord work on the inside? In 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, we looked at this past week in Institute 122. The Jews were seeking a sign. That's common amongst men. Hey, I want to see things. But God starts on the inside. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. The river Jesus speaks of is, let me tell you, overflowing. A few days ago, we were just at that time of the year. We haven't had to get water much this year. Surprisingly, it rained a lot this summer. Say, how do you know? Green grasses was nice. That was nice. The ground not being like concrete was nice. The amount of gas we used on our mower, not so nice. But, I mean, you could mow it two times a day sometimes, felt like. But our well got low. So, you might have saw, I had the water tank in the back of my tank. I think I had to go last, was it last night? I think it was, yeah, last night. A lot of showers Sunday mornings. We got to be ready for that. So, our well went dry. Do you know that Jesus Christ never goes dry? When he bids you to come and if you're thirsty, hey, there's been summers where we've had people over and I forgot to check the water and it just goes low and we got to get cases of water and all that kind of stuff and it's hot and all you want to do is get a cool drink of water and that's all, for me, that's all I'm thinking about and there's nothing left in the tank. Wouldn't that be something if our soul cries, says, hey, you have a longing spirit, come unto me. And when you get there, that thing is empty? No, that's not how Christ works, though. His rivers are flowing. You know, our belly is never sat. Look at Philippians chapter number 3. Look there. Philippians 3:19. Philippians 3:19 says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. If God is your belly, you know this, you'll never be satisfied. But when we come to the Lord and experience those rivers of living water, the believer is satisfied, so satisfied that it's overflowing. And that's how it ought to be. We get such a dose of the Lord, of the Holy Spirit of God, if you will, that thing just starts flowing out of us to others. That's what he says. He that believeth on me, as the back in John chapter number 7 and verse 35 or 38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Hey, you're thirsty? Why don't you come unto me? I'll fill you so much up, there's going to be overflow. Verse 39. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. We know that in John 14, 15, and 16. We'll eventually get there. Maybe. I don't know. That's the plan. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is a prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? You know, kind of interesting. After all that they've seen so far up to this point, the teachings, the authority, the miracles, the time after time of proving his divinity, yet, hey, wait a second, isn't he from Galilee? No, no, the Messiah is not supposed to come from Galilee. Again, after many proofs he is the Messiah, yet they are still grasping at evidences to reject him. He was born in Bethlehem. Unfortunately, no matter what you may say, some may still reject Christ. After all that he did, after all that he showed them, after all he went through, and they're like, no, no, he's from Galilee, the Messiah is coming from Bethlehem. Had they just done their little bit of research, they would have known he was from Bethlehem. Verse 42, hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? They didn't know all what was going on. They didn't know the facts. Brother Van ever talked to somebody that didn't know all the facts but spoke like they did? Sure. Misguided. Spoken to many people about what the Bible says. I'd ask them a question that I would, by their own proclamation, that they knew things about the Word, and I would kind of call them on that, and their response was, they didn't know the Word. They didn't know Jesus. That's kind of the situation here. They're professing that they know what's going on, but they don't really know all the details that are going on. In verse 43, so there was a division among the people because of him. Listen to this. Christ is truth. 100%. And not all will follow him. This, you say, well, what are the two, if we're to break people up into two groups, is it man and woman, male and female? Is it rich and poor? Is it Christ is the divider? The question is, what have you done with Christ? Man, female, that doesn't matter. At the end of this life, in eternity, it won't matter. What will matter is, what have you done with Jesus? Is he your Messiah? Is he your Savior? That's one side. The other side will be, is he your judge? Who is Christ to you? So yeah, no, Christ brings people together. When we study Matthew, he separates the nations. At the end, a book is open. Is your name in that book? Christ is a divider. No, if I'm good enough, you can't be good enough. If I give enough, you can't give enough. You can't go far enough. You can't do enough. What have you done with Christ? So that there was a division among the people because of him. True statement. True statement. Verse 44. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have ye not brought him? It's funny again that the Pharisees send officers, we saw that earlier, to do their work. The officers returned and they say these words, never man spake like this man. Isn't that true? Hey, weren't you supposed to arrest him? On what grounds are we supposed to arrest him? Because when you tried to tempt him, he undid you. I love his answer. I love their answer. Never man spake like this man. So true. Look at John chapter 8 and verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Who can say that but Jesus? Look at John chapter 14, verse 6. A familiar verse. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Never spake a man like him. Never spake a man like this man. He just said the only way to God the Father is through him. True. How about this? Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Never man spake like this man. You heavy laden tonight? Overwhelmed by the cares of this world? Christ says, come. Is your soul longing for something, never satisfied? Come to Christ. Come to Christ. When you read, I don't have a red letter edition. Do you have I see red on your page. When you read these words, remember this thought. Every time you read those red letters, never man spake like this man. Understand that the words that you're reading on that page, no one could have claimed, no one could have said, no one could have done like the Lord Jesus Christ. They follow with the question, then answered them the Pharisees, "Are ye also deceived?" Oh, now you're believing, huh? Well, overwhelming proof, honestly. Then answered the Pharisees, "Are ye also deceived?" Belittling their thoughts, belittling their maybe even doubts of what the Pharisees stood for. Let me help you with this. Majority doesn't equal truth. Just because a mass majority believes a certain doctrine or a certain thing contrary to the scriptures doesn't make it right. We Pharisees all believe this. Oh, now you're going to follow that little group over there? Just because the majority doesn't mean it's right. Usually, I'll just tell you, usually the majority isn't right. So how do you know then? We'll find out what God thinks. God is always right. Verse 48. John 7:48. Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? Trying to say, we do not endorse such teaching and behavior. They asked the question, why didn't you seize him? They're like, no one talked like that guy. Oh, now you're starting to believe, huh? Let me tell you, let me explain our stance again. None of us have believed on him. What do you think now? Now, I have some questions. John chapter number 12. By the end of this passage, we're going to be told of, we're going to see a name that stands out to us. His name is Nicodemus. Remember Nicodemus? Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. And when did he come? He came to Jesus by night. He had some questions, never. Master. And we see Nicodemus showing up here again in John chapter number 8. A ruler of the Jews. Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed on him? They asked. John chapter number 12, verse 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him. Not because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Look at Acts chapter number 6. Acts chapter number 6. And the word of the, verse 7, Acts 6, 7. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Hey, maybe not in John chapter number 7, but by John chapter number 12, by Acts chapter number 6, a good amount do believe. Isn't that good? Hey, when you think the lost of lost, you wonder, hey, who could ever? Hey, real quick, side note, Psalm 122. You'll see this verse a lot online these days. Psalm 122 and verse 6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. We're watching what's happening. A war is breaking out in the Middle East. Hamas is doing awful, wicked things, and they attacked Israel, and now Israel is retaliating, and we're looking at that and say, well, who's right? Israel, stay with Israel. I'm telling you, they're God's chosen people. President Biden came out and said, we unequivocally stand with Israel. Praise the Lord, Mr. President. You've made a good choice. And they have all of our support, and he's saying this publicly. Great. And we're watching what's unfolding, and we go, no, what we should just do is just make that section of the world a crater. I don't know. We look at some pretty antagonistic people towards Christ. But when it's all said and done, we see many believers from them. Be careful you not write off someone who God hasn't written off. That's for God to decide, not you and I. And the Bible tells us, for whosoever. And can I tell you some of the favorite stories that I've ever read are how believers were established in the Middle East right now. It's unbelievable how God does that. And their testimony of faith, man, their faith cost them their family, their life. And they're like, I'm ready. Jesus is who he said he was. And we read this and go, oh, the stinking Pharisees again. Well, some of those stinking Pharisees, one of those Pharisees wrote half your New Testament. What is the greatest missionary that we've ever had record of? So let's be careful not to take a group of people and cast them aside. Let's try and reach them with the gospel. Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? Acts chapter number 9, Paul did. By the time it's all said and done, you don't have to turn there. It was just a verbal reference. Lastly, verse 49. John chapter number 7, verse 49. We'll read through the end of the chapter. But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to Jesus. Just to be clear what Nicodemus we're talking about. He that came to Jesus by night being one of them. Doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went into his own house. Quite an end to the festival. Jesus gets up and makes two statements and the whole thing gets unraveled, doesn't it? I like what they said. For out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. 2 Kings chapter number 14. Got to be careful when you say never, no, can't ever. 2 Kings chapter number 14. Second Kings 14, he restored the coast of Israel from, in verse 25, I'm sorry, 2 Kings 14, 25. He restored the coast of Israel from entering of Hamath unto the sea of the plain, according to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he spake by the hand of his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, which was of Gath-Hepher, which just happens to be in Galilee. It calls him, well, Jonah wasn't, it says right here, the prophet. So, yes, prophets can come from Galilee. His name is Jonah. A little story about a guy getting eaten by a whale. And everyone went unto his own house. Kind of like, let's go think about these things. The feast is over, and they've been challenged. Whenever Jesus shows up, there's a challenge. Challenge to our heart. Are we going to follow? Are we going to do what he says? Some were presented with a, if you think about the what actually is happening here, I mean, for the last 2,000 years, they've been keeping this feast. It's just a ritual. It doesn't even have maybe a spiritual impact on them. It's just what they did. And then all of a sudden their soul and spirit was challenged by Christ. And they walked away, wow, got a hold of something. Maybe you felt that the first time you walked into a church service where the gospel was preached. You've been to church all your life. It was just a routine. You said the same things. You went through the same mechanics. You knelt, you stood, you said the words, you echoed back, you read the same passages, but your soul was never satisfied. And then you walked into a place where the gospel was preached. And then you go back to your house going, what on earth just happened? Well, that's kind of what just happened here. It was the Feast of Tabernacles. It had been the ritual that they've kept for the last 2,000 years. But now, Jesus showed up. And he offered something that no priest could ever offer. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And I'm so glad got a hold of the Lord Jesus Christ. Something real in our life. If you've been searching all your life and then you found Jesus, it is like a cool sip of water. It's warm in here too. Ah, the thing I've been longing for. Hey, maybe you just be a little more appreciative. Not that you're not, but maybe you just appreciate who Christ is. And remember when you're reading your Bible, and every time you see those red letters, know this, never man spake like this man. Pay attention. Those words ought to jump off the page to you. Let's all stand tonight. Appreciate your attentiveness.